Well, I learned today that I'm 87 years old again. A while ago, we were out in the fellowship hall there, and I don't remember who brought it up and so forth. I could not think of the name of our pastor. So I tell you, when you're getting up into years and you begin to get forgetful like that, what was his name now? It took me a while to think of what his name was. So just remember this. When you get 87 years of age, just expect things to sort of be forgetful and behind the scenes where you can't find them. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew chapter 14. It's been a long time. I've been in the ministry since 1949. That's when I surrendered to preach, in 1949. And it's beginning to wear out, I think, now. So I hope that I don't have that much difficulty this morning as I preach to you today. I did change Bibles. I've got another Bible that I've been using all my life. But for some reason, I don't know how they print them, but they get smaller type as you keep them longer. And I get to the problem of reading them. So this time I have a larger print here. And so that's what I'm using this morning. And I can read it a little easier than I can read the other one. But you pray for the pastor while he's out of town. He'll be back, the Lord willing, by next Sunday. But he's out enjoying the nice cool weather of Colorado, I'm sure. All right, Matthew chapter 14. I want to begin reading with verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I guess I will turn the microphone on so you can hear me. I guess, should I go back and say all that over again now, or did you hear? All right, this parable that we read about this morning was one of the more important ones, I guess you could say, because it's mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. And it's the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. When you think of all the other things that are not recorded in all 4 of them, then we begin to see the distinction between this one and the others. For instance, you don't read about his birth, his baptism, his temptation, his transfiguration, nor even his ascension, nor his parables, his prayers, or his discourses. Now, there's a few things that are recorded in all 4 of the Gospels, such as his agony in the garden, his trial and condemnation, his death, burial, and resurrection, and finally, the Great Commission. And so these are the things that we say are recorded 4 times in all 4 of the Gospels. The one that I want to look at this morning is the parable that is concerning the parable relative to missions. Our church has always been interested in missions. I can remember as just a small child that we used to have missionaries come into our church that had been out on their various fields. And they would come into our church and give a report about their work that they had on the fields. I guess the one I can remember the furthest back, none of you would most remember him, but his name was John Gillies, and he was a missionary in Lithuania. And I remember another one, and I doubt if you'd remember him either. His name was Jacob Rosenthal, and he was a converted Jewish rabbi, and he had lived in Denver, Colorado, and worked among basically the Jewish people out there. And so missions, is that a part of our Bible that we need to remember and to maintain and to present to our churches as we move on in order that we might maintain mission work as the Lord would have us to do. Now, in this parable that we have read today, it is a parable about missions. First, as we read about it, we see three things that the Lord did. First of all, it says that he saw. Next, that he felt. And finally, he acted. In other words, when it says he saw, we realize he had a vision. When he felt, it suggests that he had compassion. And then that he acted suggests that he had consideration. In other words, what we find here are three what we call great missionary lessons that stand out boldly right here. And that means something that you and I, as a church and as individuals, need. That is, we need the need of a vision, we need compassion, and then we need consecrated action. So the things that we find we need, the three things are a vision, compassion, and action. Question is, do we have a vision? Do we have compassion? And do we have consecrated action? Now, when we talk about missions or the viewpoint of missions, there are four things relative to mission that I want us to notice today. First of all, missions is a debt. I guess we all probably know that in a sense, that it is a debt that we have missions. What is a debt? Well, it's something that's owed, such as money, goods, or services. It's an obligation or a liability to pay or to render something to someone else. That's the first thing we find, and that it is a debt. Secondly, sometimes we look at missions as though it's a charity. That is, it's an act or a feeling of benevolence, goodwill, or affection. The provision of help or relief to the poor, almsgiving. That's the second thing we find concerning missions. The third thing is that we're to consider ourselves as a trustee, a person or an agent, such as a bank, holding legal title to property in order to administer it for the beneficiary. All of us understand some of these. The last one, though, is a steward, one who manages another's property and finances other affairs. When we went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, where Paul writing says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards or in stewards that a man be found faithful." So in other words, we are to be the managers of or stewards of property that the Lord has placed in our hands. Our duty and our position then involves two things. It involves, first of all, to be a witness. What is a witness? One who has seen or heard something. One who furnishes evidences. One who is called upon to testify before a court. Or it could be considered as an ambassador. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as representatives in residence by one government to another. So when we think of this parable right here that we have read this morning, we see that the Lord has placed all of this into the hands of His churches. Here, Central Baptist Church has been given this as our responsibility, the responsibility of being a mission field for those round about us, or even as far as we can find through means of our foreign missionaries as well. So I want to look at two conclusions this morning. And the first one is, what is our task today? I know all of us realize we have a task to accomplish. We have a task to do. And the church was not charged with the task of winning the whole world to Christ. But our job is to take Christ to the whole world. Not with the responsibility of bringing all men to Christ, but of taking Christ to all men. In other words, our goal is set for its missionary effort, not worldwide conversion, but worldwide evangelization. And that's what we do. We have missionaries that are on the various fields of the world, and our church participates in the responsibility of paying them money so they can live on the field where they are serving. As it was mentioned to you a while ago, in just a couple of Sundays, we'll have a missionary here. What was the country where he was? And the Ukraine. We have other missionaries that are that we are supporting right now. Others that we have visited at times. I have had the privilege of visiting with mission fields in many areas of the world. I have been a missionary myself. For 13 years, I lived down in the country of Mo, Mexico. And I lived in three different states down there where we have a seminary. And we were located in Morelia, Michoacan, which is about halfway between Mexico City and Guadalajara. And then from there, I moved up to Guanajuato. And then from there, we went way down into the southern area of Old Mexico, where there was not even a highway getting into it. The only way in that southeastern part of Mexico that you could get in was either to fly in by plane or to go in by boat. You could leave Veracruz and go over to the state of Tabasco and then go up the river Grijalva in order to get to the capital, Villahermosa. And that's where we lived, and that's where we had a seminary, and that's where we worked on the mission field down there. Then I had the privilege of visiting other mission fields as well. I've been to Japan when Brother Ed Scalf was over there in Japan, and then I went to couple of the other islands right near there, and then including Okinawa. And then I had the privilege of going to France and Spain and Germany, visiting mission fields and missionaries in those areas there. And our church here has had a part in that mission work in every one of these fields, because our church has contributed to these missionaries that were located in various fields like this in order that they might carry the gospel to those areas as well. And so when we think about this mission work that we read about here, that is our task that we have. The Lord has charged us then with not winning the whole world to Christ. None will ever do that. But we are given the job of taking the gospel to the whole world in order that we might have the whole world know about the Lord Jesus Christ. The responsibility of bringing Christ to all the world. And our church still participates in that. I cannot remember all of them now, but we have missionaries that this church helps to support in various areas of the world today. We have some of them that come in occasionally here in order to present their work to our church and let us know what is going on. And this way we can participate with the Lord in the preparing of the gospel and taking it out to those in the whole wide world. Now the heathen of the world are increasing all the time. I'm sure we understand and know that there are more lost people in the world today than there were yesterday. There's more lost people in the world today than there were last month. Why? Because the world is growing at such a fast rate that our missionaries that we have are not sufficient to keep up with that increase. What we need to do is to pray that the Lord would continue to call men to the mission field, send them forth to the mission field, and churches like us and others, that we will support them in order that they might carry the gospel to those that are on the various mission fields. So the pagans of the world are increasing more rapidly, even right here in the United States, than are Christians. I think you and I are aware of the fact that every month that goes by, maybe every year that goes by, we see that there are fewer churches, fewer preachers, fewer that are preaching the gospel here in the United States today than they were just a year or two ago. In other words, we're not keeping pace with the growth, even right here in the United States, let alone with sending missionaries around the world. And that's one of the things that the Lord's called us to do, and that's what he's talking about when we read about this parable here, and where he told them that they were to go forth and to preach the gospel to all the world. Today, and I think you and I are beginning to realize it even more so, but there are more Muslims in the minority races here in the United States than all other minority races. And by 19 or 2050, that's not very far away, but by 2050, they are telling us now that the white race is going to be in the minority, and that the main race is going to be the Muslims that are coming in from around the world and bringing in their religions and getting rid of what we think of as Christianity. And that's why you and I need to be much in prayer about this, because churches are getting fewer and fewer all along. Our church can be one example as we think about this. When my father and I were pastoring, this was way back before 1960, say, we had over 800 people, members of our church at that time, in attendance. And now you see what's happened. And ours is not the only church that has lost people like this. It's gone all over everywhere. In order that we might remember this, we need to remind ourselves of this all along. Because who is going to be left to preach to our children, or our grandchildren, or our great-grandchildren? What country are we going to leave behind to our children then? So what I want to point out to you then, that our generation is the only generation that can evangelize the world of today. Past generations is too late for them. Future generations have not arrived yet on the scene. And so those that are living today, if we don't reach them, who will reach them? It's too late for past generations. And future generations have not yet come on the scene, and even when they do, there's going to be fewer of them than there are today. So the only generation that can evangelize the world of today is our generation of Christians. For when we pass away, the generation of heathen will also have passed away. And the question is now, who's going to remain in order that they might be reached? Now, we are not held responsible for what others do or what others don't do, but we are held responsible for what we do, as to whether we are interested in carrying the gospel and seeing that the gospel is carried to the known world round about us. I want to read a poem to you concerning this. It says this: Thou hast no tongue, O Christ, as once of old, to tell the story of thy love divine. The story still the same, as sweet as true, but there's no tongue to tell it out but mine. Thou hast no hands, O Christ, as once of old, to feed the multitude with bread divine. Thou hast the living bread, enough for all, but there's no hand to give it out but mine. Thou hast no feet, O Christ, as once to go, where thy lost sheep in sorrow pine. Thy love is still the same, as deep as true, but now thou hast no feet to go but mine. And shall I use these ransom powers of mine for things that only minister to me? Lord, take my tongue, my hands, my feet, my heart, my all, and let me live and love and give for thee. I want to look at a second conclusion that we find here in these verses. In verse 19 of this Matthew chapter 14, it says, And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. There are 3 words in this verse that we have read to you now that we want to look at. 3 words that stand out. They are loaves, disciples, and multitude. Now look at the order that we find in these three words. Where do you find the disciples? You find the disciples are between the loaves and the multitude. How did the loaves get to the multitude? They were distributed through the disciples. They are between the loaves and the multitude. And they were distributed to the disciples, and only thus. For Jesus did not himself give them directly to the multitude, but by the hands of the disciples. And that shows you and me what our responsibility is today. That responsibility is to tell the whole world of the Savior that has been passed on from one generation of Christians to another. And today, it's mine and yours. It is ours today. We stand today as those disciples did of old, between the loaves and the multitudes. And that is one of two ways. We stand either as obstructionists, withholding the loaves by our indifference, selfishness, or laziness. Or else, we stand as Christ's loyal helpers, passing out the loaves from his hands to the multitude. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. And that's what we as a church are to do. We're to take the gospel and not only pass it out right here in our community, in our state, and our nation, but our responsibility is to see that this gospel is carried to the whole world in order that they might learn about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for them, and that they might believe. I want to close by reading a poem this morning. Lord, thou hast given to me a trust, a high and holy dispensation, to tell the world, and tell I must, the story of thy great salvation. Thou mightest have sent from heaven above angelic hosts to tell the story, but in thy condescending love on men thou hast conferred the glory. Let me be faithful to my trust, telling the world the story. Press on my heart the woe, put in my feet the goal. Let me be faithful to my trust, and use me for thy glory. Our Father, as our minds have been reminded once again of the duty and responsibility that you have given us, not only to take the gospel here and to preach it to those who live in our community, but that our responsibility is to carry the gospel to the whole world. And we thank you, Father, that we are able to be a member of a church that does this, that we practice what you have taught us, and that we, through the missionaries supported by this church, do take the gospel to this known world. And we pray, our Father, that as we do that, that we not remember or fail to remember that our gospel is to be carried to those that are here as well. And we pray that together as a church, we might serve thee not only here, but through our missionaries throughout the known world. Our Father, if there should be one here today that's not saved, this probably doesn't really mean that much to them because they do not know thee. But if there be one here unsaved, we pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit might bring them through repentance and faith to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You would keep your head bowed and eyes closed. And nothing simpler than that, amen. Nothing simpler than that. We're called to deliver what God's already done. We're called to deliver the message about what God's already done. That's our duty. Sometimes we just kind of get carried away and start thinking about everything else or complicated more than it already is. And really, it's as simple as it is. Are we doing our job? Are we doing what God's called us to do? But like Pastor Moser said, the same side, have you received that gift that God's given to us? Have you received that gift yourself? If you haven't, we can't really take it until we have, right? This morning, I want you to think about that first. Do you know about that gift? The life that Jesus Christ laid down upon that cross and gave for us so we could one day live with Him. If you've never made that decision, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive you your sins, come forward today. Talk to one of us. We'll show you from the gospel how you can know to be saved. Second, let me ask you, loved ones. And I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. But we have to be honest with ourselves. Are we doing what God's asked us to do? Are you doing what God's asked you to do? It's nothing hard, nothing that we can't do. Just asked, commanded, told to take His word just as it is and give it to your world. Give it to your neighbors. Give it to your family, your mom, your dad, your brothers, sisters, co-workers, person at the grocery store. Are you taking God's word, freely giving like someone once gave to you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before You this morning, thanking You so much for Your love, for Your mercy. Lord, thank You for this message that was given to us. We pray that we may be willing to listen. And Lord, even if decisions aren't made this morning, Lord, we know that Your seed was planted. And Lord, we pray that as You water, Lord, You may give the increase as You see fit. Lord, help us not to be intimidated by the responsibility, but challenged. Lord, help us to be willing to be faithful servants, faithful stewards. And Lord, in the end, we may be found faithful serving You. Lord, we know we don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to change it. We just need to simply take it as it is. And I'll allow You to do the work. Lord, I pray if there be someone here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, they make that decision before it's too late. Lord, I also ask You this morning as we gather to fellowship afterwards, You may bless the food and nourishment to our bodies. Watch over us. Watch over those who aren't here for whatever reasons. We ask that You protect, guide and protect them. And Lord, we ask that You allow our pastor and his family to have the rest they need. And Lord, we ask that You bring them back to us. It be Your